Firstly, what's end-of-life care?
Well, the discussions that you usually have with your clients about what they want when they're dying, whether they want to die at home, whether they want to be in a nursing home, whether they want to be with family, whether they want to return to their own country, as well as what the specifics are that they want around their funeral. And we've had some lovely stories from our clients who want Essendon balloons and scarves and things on their coffin, and the Bombers theme song, and go the Bombers.
you're a Bomber supporter too, aren't you?
Most definitely.
Excellent.
And Bombers theme songs played, you know, during their funeral. So it's around what clients want when they're...
In their last days. So why is this so significant in the Aboriginal or Indigenous context, would you suggest?
Well, from my experience, we've found that it's not necessarily a topic that's talked about, and it's around getting the conversations happening, and from the conference, it's something that doesn't happen very well across the world. There was 22 countries represented at the conference in London, and it's something that medical professionals have to grapple with on a day-to-day basis, especially in intensive care units, and wanting to know whether, you know, a client would want life support if there was no quality of life. And it's just something that's not discussed, and it's so important for health professionals to understand what a person's wishes are.
So how did you facilitate this from your organisation's point of view? What did you do? Did you nominate 20 elders within your community and say, righto, let's go and chat to them, or how did it happen?
We actually got some funding from the Department of Health under the dementia funding to do the booklet, and we workshopped it with the elders through the planned activity group session, and to make sure that the information that was going to be gathered in the booklet was the information they wanted passed on to their family, so that their life story and their journey continued and their families could look back and say, well, this is where Mum's country was. Or
so it's not just a question of this going into some nursing notes or some medical notes. This is a document which then becomes the property of the surviving family, isn't
it? That's correct. Yeah,
well, what a neat idea.
Yeah, we had it... hard covered.
Yeah.
The artwork on the front cover was done by one of our staff, who's an Aboriginal young lady, a Gunai Kurnai woman, and it details the client's life journey from when they were a child right through to now, and then into what they want when they can't care for themselves and what they want around their funeral and things like that. So the family get to keep the booklet. It also has spots for photos and notes that people want to put in, and it stays with GJEC at the moment, and when the client goes into residential care or goes into hospital, the booklet can travel with them, so that the people who are involved in the client's care can then start conversations about things that, you know, if someone's feeling a bit isolated, they can say, oh, tell me about when you were living down on the riverbank or whatever.
And also if people are suffering from something like a dementia, long-term memory is retained than short-term memory. So again, that sort of, I forget what it's called now, but that sort of therapy where you do reminisce and look back.
That's right, reminiscent therapy.
Reminiscent therapy, yeah. So you've had this project, you've constructed these booklets with a number of your participants in one of your groups, and they're sort of now a living document, so to speak.
That's correct.
What was the most surprising thing for you about this process?
Well, I think from my perspective, it takes a lot of time to build trust with our clients, especially for the non-Aboriginal staff, and for the clients to actually open up and start telling their story. That was amazing to watch. And the staff can now, they know their clients better, so they can approach their care better. And it was just amazing to see the memories that the clients were sharing. It was just fantastic.
I would imagine that could be a pretty powerful experience for anybody, but for some members of your community, that Aboriginal community, they would have had, you know, not a Walt Disney sort of lifestyle, one would have to say. You know,
no.
It would have been some tough yards in there.
Exactly right. Yeah, some very challenging situations that the clients have had to deal with and come through, you know, as much stronger people. And it is some of the stories are very, very sad, but, you know, at the end of it, everyone comes out smiling. you know, it's just an amazing feeling to actually see people share their story, listen to their story, and then they feel more empowered.
How did you end up getting to London? I mean, I know you caught a plane.
That was a long flight, 25 hours.
I assume you caught a plane. But how did it happen? How did you get an invite, or did you...
We actually put in an abstract, and there was thousands of abstracts submitted, and ours was accepted to be presented. Now, at the conference, there was research fellows and professors and everybody else doing studies.
What was the conference? What was it? Who was organising it?
It was the second International Society of Advanced Care Planning and End-of-Life Conference.
Okay.
Yeah, so we put the abstract in, it was accepted, and we got over there and all these research fellows were presenting their studies and things, and another lady from Mungaburina Aboriginal Co-op came as well, and her and I presented both the booklet, and she does some taking people home to country activities with the clients up at Wodonga. So okay. We got up and presented. Her husband played the didgeridoo at the start of our presentation, and it was very well received, and even to the point that the professor came up and said, we would love to have that as a plenary session in Chicago and not just a concurrent session next year at the next conference.
I would imagine that somebody starting a presentation with a didgeridoo sort of knocks the PowerPoint presentation out of the ballpark. So undoubtedly you would have caught their attention. You talked about there's a conference next year in Chicago.
That's right.
The collective phrase, I think, for people such as, you know, Australia's Aboriginal community and North American Native Americans is First Nation people. Is this project kind of unique amongst First Nation people?
I think so. I had some people from Canada come up and say that they would love to do something like this with their Indigenous people from Canada. So it's as if nobody's seen anything like this before. So it is a new thing, I think.
And you're going to continue it locally?
Our intention is to complete it with as many clients as we can. And I know that Jason King, the CEO from GJAC, has actually mentioned about it at VACHO, and there's been a lot of interest there as well. So, hopefully it's something that gets out there and can be done with all of our clients.